Welcome back to the Perth Business Podcast.
I'm Taryn, the host of the podcast, networking with the best in Perth over a bev when the best stories tend to emerge. So grab a cup of coffee or settle in for the drive to work or to the gym and enjoy. Make sure you give us your thoughts online at Instagram, Facebook or LinkedIn and hit that little subscribe button to make sure you get our episodes every week.
I'd also like to acknowledge and voice my appreciation for being able to record this podcast on Whadjuk Booja, Perthland, and be able to pay my respects to the Noongar ancestors and elders who are the traditional owners of this country.
Without further ado, here's our next guest.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining me on the Perth Business Podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you. Did we meet on Instagram? Was it a gram?
Yeah, I think I did a DM slide.
Yes.
I was like, your podcast is so cool.
Oh, thank you. I love it. I love meeting people that way because I feel like it's weird now to like submit an email inquiry form and be like, you look like you're doing really good stuff on this different platform. So now I'm going to email you formally or send a letter by mail. It's like,
It's definitely, let's just use all the platforms to contact each other because that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. So before we get into your business, I would love to hear a little bit about you guys. So are you from Perth?
Yeah, we're both from Perth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I grew up in Perth. Mm-hmm. I after uni, moved up to the Gascoyne, then lived in the Midwest.
Yep.
Then we lived together in Canada, myself and Nicolette. It's where our friendship really blossomed.
Aww, beautiful.
Well, we met at uni.
We met at uni pre that.
But
then we lived together and it was just,
that's where it took off.
That's a real make or break, isn't it?
Yeah.
With your friends.
Living together. It actually was pretty good living together.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I thought we had a lot of like, similar, and Nicolette's boyfriend, Zach, also, fiance.
Also upgraded. <for life. laughs>
Lived with us. Well, more like I lived with them.
Yeah.
And it just, it was really nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
You don't hear that happening very often. Like the two friends I've lived with, we are still friends because we moved apart.
Yeah.
Because we were like, we can't do this.
My other friends. Yeah.
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 Can't do it.
Yeah. We met at uni and then I lived overseas for a little while.
Yeah.
Came back and then I studied my teaching degree as well.
Oh, cool.
And that's when we took off to Canada and then Kate came and joined us. And then
quarter life crisis.
Quarter life crisis.
Oh my gosh,
COVID. Hello, welcome COVID.
Yeah.
And then we kind of frantically packed up in 3 days, left Canada, moved back to Perth, and we're both like sitting there without jobs. The world's like going on. We don't know what's going on. Then we're like, should we just,
Let's just go on a road trip.
Yeah. So we packed up our cars because we hadn't spent enough time together. And then Zach and I
let's get to know each other a bit
in
more.
A smaller space. Yeah, a car. Let's do
it. And we pretty much did like a 7-week road trip up to Broome, Carrageenie. Convoy with two cars.
Yeah, I tagged along. I was like their little child that tagged along.
Love that.
And then I kind of stayed a bit longer up in Exmouth
for
a while until. Yeah. And then it was sort of during COVID that then we were getting chatting and we're like, what are we going to do now? Because like we could go back to our old jobs and what we were doing. And then we sort of just had the discussion and that's sort of where we got the idea for We Are Women and
where it all started. Yeah, many like we would, during COVID when we came back from up north, we would get up early, go for a surf, try to surf.
Yeah. And then I was going to say, so impressed.
I pretend that I can surf, but I can't. And like afterwards have a coffee at Trigg Beach and just like spit ideas. Like what can we do that uses what we're passionate about, our skills, like
our backgrounds,
our health experiences. What can we do to bring it all together? And that's kind of where it started, just spitballing ideas. And there it was born, Trigg Beach.
Love that.
Drinking.
What are your backgrounds before we go into We Are Women?
So we both studied health promotion.
And we graduated.
It's a Bachelor of Science.
Okay.
Science degree.
Yeah, cool.
We graduated that in 2016.
Yeah.
And then I was living overseas traveling as well. So I haven't really worked too much in that space. A few like on and off things, but nothing really as much as Kate had. And then because that's when I came back and did my teaching. And then I sort of been more focused on that in terms of a job, whereas Kate's done more health promotion roles.
Okay. So yeah, also same uni degree, and then I left uni and worked up in the Gascoyne. So, yeah, I had a really cool job where I got to write health programs for the remote communities around the Gascoyne.
Cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was always, you know, flying out in these tiny little planes, remote areas.
Wow.
And then I worked in cancer prevention and research in the Midwest.
Oh, that's huge.
Midwest, yeah. So also writing cancer prevention programs, health programs for communities around.
Yep.
Yeah, and then had my quarter life crisis.
Love that. Oh my gosh, I love that. That's pretty, like, that's a pretty big deal to travel that much and do something so important in an area that is kind of like super regional, right? So small remote communities and having to deal with really big topics like cancer. Like, and then you're like, I need to get out of here for a bit, have a break.
Yeah, have some fun.
Fair enough.
I absolutely loved my time up north. Like, I lived in Carnarvon, like,
oh wow,
this tiny little town, which is can we swear on this podcast?
Oh yeah, please.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's a total, it's a shithole. But I loved it. Like, it's the best shithole I've ever lived in.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful community. Everyone that lives there is lovely. There's like, the coastline is stunning.
And they do charge $18 for 2 oat milk cappuccinos. I learned the hard way.
Holy smokes.
But you know what? It's all right. Yeah. I'll take it.
Support local oat producers. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're making their own oat milk there for sure. Yeah.
Let's talk about the coffee choices for a second. I love to like hear what people like to drink, because sometimes we do the podcast in the evening and people like whiskey and you're like, yes, all right. Yeah. Some people say coffee. I'm like, where am I meant to get coffee at 5 p.m. in Perth? Just a thing. Yeah.
The homemade. What's it? Espresso.
Yeah, yeah. Over. I'm like at home doing like a little espresso.
We got onto the oat cap train when
Well, okay.
I got onto the oat cap. When we're living in Canada, it was huge over there. And I was like, what on earth is an oat milk coffee? Like, I was like, that is just not a thing back in Perth right now. And anyway, got hooked on it.
Yeah.
And then we started like, all our friends who came through the cafe would get them hooked on it. I was like calling mum back home. I was like, you got to get on this oat milk train. And we got back from Canada and I like asked a few cafes and like there was maybe one or two that did it.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that we probably bought it back.
You started it. It was me.
And now, you know, now you can't even get it at Coles because Buddy's sold out. So very important.
Yeah. It's really good because it's so, like, I'm an oat milk gal as well because I didn't like the soy milks unless it's, what's that fun pink soy, Happy Boy soy or something?
Yeah.
But they've got to make it right, you know? And almond milk always, for me, tasted like burnt nuts. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on here? I must have just had bad ones.
Talk about almond milk like that.
Yeah, you're like ready to defend it. So, yes, no, I love learning about people's little
coffee choice
quirks. Yeah.
Well, my quirk is a little bit.
Yes.
I go with an almond milk purely because this is so bad. I read once that, like, the I'm ashamed, the calorie difference between oat milk and almond milk. And then I went on a health kick for like one day and I was like, well, it's got to be almond milk.
It's got to be.
So I'll have an almond milk because, you know, lower calories and then I'll eat a block of chocolate.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Almond milk, but then they give you the free muffin with the coffee.
Yeah. Like, all right. It's my own little thing that makes me feel a tiny bit better.
Yeah. It's like a mental thing, I think. It gets you going. If someone brings you the wrong coffee, like, for example, do you have allergies or anything, or you just like the taste? So I'm lactose, intolerant. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. So, but even if they have like lactose-free milk, I'm like, no, it's oat for me. Thank you.
Yeah. This tastes better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Thank you for letting me dive into those parts of your brain. I love that. Let's talk about We Are Women. So you guys had your little life experience, well, huge life experiences, and you obviously realized you could work really closely and well together, which is super rare, really cool.
Sometimes well.
Some would say we spend too much time together.
I love that.
It's like our work life and our personal life. Isn't very close.
So interlaced.
A little too much.
It obviously works for you guys. So tell me a bit about the business and then we'll go into how you guys work together on the business.
Yeah. So We Are Women is a health promotion organization. Mm-hmm. Basically, we deliver evidence-based, trauma-informed, bespoke, a lot of words, health programs to young women in WA. So our focus is just women or people who identify as women. We do put it out there to people who identify with the topics that we talk about as well, but not men, essentially.
Yeah.
And basically our goal is to channel the power of honest conversation and education to really create a safe space for young women to talk about things, to empower them, to educate them. And I guess also talk about some like really typically taboo, and I'm going to do quotation marks, taboo topics that we're kind of taught from a young age we're not meant to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where it sort of started as well, like a stem from us talking about our own experiences, like a bit of market research as well, even just like general conversations with all our friends and people just saying, oh, I never knew this stuff till I was in my early 20s or like just real basic things that you should probably know when you're going through that such changing teenage years that you've just never spoken about. And we just wanted to create that safe space in schools because for me, I went to co-ed school and like your health lessons were maybe like your young male PE teacher.
A bit awkward.
Condom on the banana as your health education, like, and it was just real like swept under the rug and like awkward conversations. And we were like, we just want a space that like young women can come in, ask these questions without having, you know, young boys in the room to maybe make jokes about it and make them feel uncomfortable. And that a place that they can ask these questions where they might not feel comfortable asking their parents or their teachers about it.
Yeah.
They can get this education elsewhere.
Yeah. I guess like our overall goal is like a world where it's free from women's stigma. Mm-hmm. And I guess we just really hope for a future that sees women that are like loud and proud and are feminine and masculine at the mm-hmm. same time and are empowered and they're unapologetically themselves. And I guess that they don't shrink themselves around others. And that's sort of what we really strive for, and we're aspiring to see that.
That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's funny because, like, I feel like women go through different transitions in their life or, like, realizations, and it'll either come after, like, you have that school experience and you think, like, it's being a girl or being a woman or being a friend with, you know, certain people. You're like, this is one way. And then you grow up and something happens, or, you know, maybe it's trauma, maybe it's not, maybe it's watching a friend go through something, or even maybe it's visiting a doctor and them having – like it's an older male and them having an opinion that is so far from what you need to hear as a young woman. It's like
a period pain. Oh, just have a Panadol. It's not.
Take a Panadol.
Pain is real and I need you to see that.
You know, like everyone's being diagnosed with endometriosis. Yeah. Like these people have been living in pain for, you know, 10, 15 years of excruciating period pain. And it's like, oh, it's not that bad.
It's not
like,
that bad.
Yeah. It is. Like if you look at the difference between like what women get prescribed for their pain compared to like what men get prescribed, like it's just so
different. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have all the insights into that. Mm. But we all have a story, right? And that's part of it. Like I was talking to my housemate this morning. She was so upset because she was like, I didn't realize it would affect me so much. But she has chronic back pain, lower back pain, and she went to a GP and she's been dealing with it for like a year. So it's been like 12 months. She's gone to like physios. She's even tried. She's like, yesterday she was like, have you ever thought about kinesiology? I was like, I haven't personally for me because I don't have chronic pain. But I was like, if you're that desperate to like, give anything a go.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's like the last resort treatment, you know, each to their own, but for her it was. So she went and saw another opinion and this woman said, oh, you know, if you start feeling tingling, if your pelvis is sore, all this, go to emergency. And she freaked out. She was like, well, I'm having all of those symptoms. Do I go to emergency? And she happened to go to a travel doctor, like sort of afterwards to get vaccinations for a trip she's going on. And he was like, oh no, you just need to lose weight. Move a bit more.
Oh, for a back pain.
For a back pain. Oh, wow. And he was an old man. Yeah. And I was like, first of all, disregard that, because I've had an experience with an old man where he's been like, why do you need a mental health plan? You're pretty, you're young, and you're like, I'm literally in tears in front of you.
I know.
It's not because my parents divorced 10 years ago. Like, I need help. I'm like, please realize that I need help.
Finding like a doctor
pretty people
that cares.
Can have mental health problems.
Sorry.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. There's no correlation between attractiveness
honestly.
And mental health.
It's just like, I was like, oh man, I know exactly what you're feeling. Like it is the most ridiculous. Like
it's not being taken seriously.
No, and it's simply because you're a young woman and they're an older male. And like, I'm sure they know what they're doing in their space. But like, holy shit, the comments are just like, seriously.
Yeah,
and they say it with such conviction.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
just need to lose weight. She's like, I'm actually the fittest I've ever been. So, you didn't even ask me what my workout routine is. Like,
I know so many people that talk about having like severe endo pain and then just been telling like, go for a walk.
Yeah. Oh, you just need to move more. Have you tried looking at sunlight for a bit?
Yeah. What about eating a healthy diet?
Oh, didn't think of that.
Thank you. I will do that. Oh, yeah, problem's fixed.
Or like even I went to a doctor like not that long ago and I was talking about, I was like, oh, I think like my Implanon, like my birth control is coming to the end. Like I'm just talking about other options, blah, blah. Yeah. And they were like, oh, well, we could maybe give you the Mirena, but oh, you're 27, so you probably want to have kids in the next
year. Oh, God.
And I was kind of like, you don't know anything about me. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't told you my life story. I might not even have a partner for all you know. Like,
and just because you're a woman, you don't have to have kids.
And I was like, I'm only 27.
Yeah.
Bloody child bride.
Yeah. Literally.
Calm down. I was like, oh.
You're still a
what?
Child.
Yeah.
I am
a child.
That's
an
odd assumption to make.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I think it just goes to the stigma that if you're a young woman, you are straight, you have like goals to raise a family and
get married, have kids.
Have kids, have the white picket fence. It's like, what? I'm sorry, what century are we?
Actually, do you know what's crazy? My school put up a call out for, what's it called?
When you're an ex-student.
When you're an ex-student. Alumni. And they wanted an alumni achievements. So they put like, doing a big call out for alumni achievements. Yeah. It was, have you had children? Gotten married.
Bought a house, wasn't it?
Bought a house. And then at the end was career success.
Are you kidding
me? So we're ranking getting married, having kids at the top of the achievements and then career success.
I probably
at the
saw you and were like, too much women empowerment. Yeah. We're not bringing her up.
She's got an opinion.
Where's your high school sweetheart? What's going on here? Like, that is insane.
Right? I was like, we I mean, obviously having children, getting married, a great achievement if that's what's
but
for
it's
you.
Not
but
the it's the only achievement.
No.
Achieve yeah. other things, like don't. Support other people's wins. I feel like, you know, wedding and marriage and the baby's so beautiful and amazing, but like I feel like we don't celebrate maybe people's work achievements or other important things, traveling, things like that as much as we do that.
Babying.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Marriage. Like relocating even. Like, you know, I've got a bunch of friends that live in Australia now. Or I met this woman last night, actually, who was from the Ukraine, and she's been here for 6 months, obviously, to escape the situation. Wow. And she was talking about the work, like the stuff she's achieving at work. And I was like, hang on. You've done all of this while, like, fleeing I literally got shivers. I was like, you've literally been fleeing your country because of war.
Yeah.
And she's like, her boss is like, if you could just speak better English, that would be, and it's like, are you shitting me?
Like, some people are so out of touch, aren't they?
Yeah. Right? Like, and she's a, I was just like mind blown. Like, crazy. So let's talk about your achievements with We Are Women.
Yes.
Actually, where did you come up with the name We Are Women? Because is it just Instagram where you've got the X or is that across? All of it.
That's it.
I thought I saw it across. Yeah.
So we use the word women basically, like I said before, for people that maybe don't identify as women but relate to our topic. So they're always welcome in our space if they feel comfortable. Yeah. We just try to use it as an inclusive term. We don't want to label anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, but we just want them, if they feel comfortable and they want to talk about the issues we're talking about, they're more than welcome to come in to our space.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so the premise of it is education. It's primarily in health and it's for women or those that identify in that space.
Yeah.
How did you start it? Because I know you said you had a bunch of ideas and I know how hard it is for me to have, I mean, unless you've got a really strong conviction behind one idea, it's really hard to like commit to that idea, you know, like really dive into it, especially when you've got two people to consider.
Yeah.
So how did you guys do that?
We originally started with like we wanted to make an online movement, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's right. We were like, we just want an online space for young women, support each other, brands that are supporting like diversity, brands that are owned by women, businesses. We want to create that and have conversations around sex and sexuality and bodies and that sort of stuff.
And then I was kind of like, well, I've worked in schools and like, and then we'll talk about our school
around the pool.
In the pool and broom.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
With our notepad and pen that we picked up at the gas station.
Business meeting, get your sunblock on.
Let's go. I don't have a pen on me. Like, I haven't written in like 2 years.
That's where the best ideas come from though, when you're in a really relaxed
space. And then so we were talking about it and then we're like, okay, well, how about like getting our foot into schools? Because these are probably, these are the next generation. This is probably where the education needs to start when they're young and they don't have this at school.
And also it's not being done in schools.
Yeah. We knew it wasn't. So we sort of came up with our key topics that we wanted. Like we're like, okay, relationships is really important. Sexual health is really important. And then consent obviously is a huge one.
Yeah.
Social media. And we sort of were like, well, what if we had maybe four different programs or five different programs? I think we ended up in the beginning. But over the last 2 years, we've definitely reshuffled and we've changed it around and seen what hasn't
worked.
Constantly
evaluating.
It's always constant. Like we're always changing.
Yeah. So at the very start, how did you implement it? Like did you divide and conquer? Like what?
No, we didn't really have a plan.
No, we just started doing it.
That's so refreshing to hear.
So
because
we're like,
if you don't start,
we spent a lot of time together, sort of like jotted down ideas about what we'd want in these programs and then like culled from there. And then it really just came down to like, okay, now what do we do next? Like we've got these programs and we just pretty much copied every single email address of Perth schools and just sent up these emails.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah.
Control C, Control V. Yeah. Straight into the deep end. And
BCC.
I think the first school we heard back from, we were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What? And we were like, And it's like, sell it. Of course, we didn't tell this school that was the first school we've been to.
Yeah, yeah. You're like,
me doing that. Whatever, we probably want this. And I think we smashed it.
We really smashed it out of the park.
But that was a good one.
That was, we were like, yes.
That was so good.
That's amazing.
And the conversations we had at the end of that with some of the students were like, we're on to a winner.
Yeah.
We're changing lives here. We're doing
good. We really had the experience anyway. So, like, obviously we both work, like, I've worked in schools, health promotion roles, you've worked community groups,
like my
programs.
Job is writing health programs.
So it's not like we were straight in the deep end. Like, we had been doing this, just not exactly in that setting. So, like, we knew how schools ran and, like, what to deliver, what engages students.
Okay, cool.
And then from there, it's really just snowballed. And I'd say, like, this last term, like,
crazy.
Busy as, honestly, okay, no, I need a break.
Yeah.
We're going to Bali soon. We're like, book it off. We're going to Bali.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for making the time today. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's a Saturday.
Yeah. We also, in terms of like starting a business, we went through the MEIS program, which What's is that? It's a government funded program, and you have to apply and then you get in, and basically you do, oh, what was it like?
6 weeks?
6 weeks?
I think, or maybe it was more. COVID, so it was not in person. Ah. So it was compressed.
On like a 6 week online course where we had to like tune in twice a week and we had assignments to do.
Right. And like business plan.
Like a full business course, like in a nutshell. And then and then they funded us for 12 months.
Amazing.
I mean, it was very little.
It was very little. Still. But it's money's money.
Yeah. It's nice to have the pay bills.
Yeah. So we got a payment for 12 months to, work and grow the business. And then we kind of had like regular meetings with our mentor.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I really recommend that.
Yeah. If people want to get started, it's a great way to just like get some info about what you actually have to do, where to start.
Everything about like business stuff, and then also just getting like a steady income for the first 12 months is super helpful.
Yeah, because I guess that stops a lot of people from starting a business, right? Yeah. It's like the risk.
And Kate and I are so fortunate that we were in the position that we could do that. You know, I know it's like a lot easier to sit here and be like, it's such a good idea, everyone should do it. But we know some people just don't have like the means to do that. So we're really fortunate we got that and could work around it too.
Mm. Yeah. And we also got set up with a incredibly amazing mentor from like a business mentoring not-for-profit called Many Rivers.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Colin.
Colin, he is a lifesaver. In the beginning when you're just really navigating like business.
Emails.
And, like random emails where when like not sure, like I guess learning sales for us was a big thing.
Yep.
He was like our go-to. We could pick up the phone and call him anytime.
Yeah.
Flick him emails. He would structure stuff for us. Like really also amazing. Linked us in with some like lawyers that did our pro bono contracts for us.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So we were really fortunate.
Yeah. That. In terms of like starting the business, he really helped us. Niece helped us. And then it was us writing the business plans. I mean, we also had a full health promotion plan as well, which was like this, a book practically of all of the research, all of our goals, how we're going to be evaluating not only like our programs, but the business as a whole moving forward to show that we're actually making a difference, which I think is like super important for the way that our business runs and the fact that we do need to evaluate regularly. We are evidence-based. We need to know what we're doing is working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a really good start for us. I think that kind of led us with our direction.
100%.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, now let's make a website. Yeah. Oh, let's get a logo. What are you guys do for a logo? Yeah.
I love that. Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah.
It sounds like you really reached out for support. And it was there to help, to really give you that little boost.
Mm. Yeah. And now we've got like probably like three really good mentors that all have like a different role in and a different way that they mentor us that is just super beneficial.
And That's I think awesome. As well, like, because Kate and I, obviously we have the health background, the teaching background, but we don't have a business background. While like we're really good at our programs and delivery and evaluations and all that, it's more the business side of things that we definitely have got lots of help from, which we've been really fortunate to get.
Yeah. Would you say that's probably been the most challenging part of running the business is just running a business?
Yeah, because we don't, like, we didn't study it or anything like that. Yep. So, we're really benefit.
Running the business is the hardest part of the business.
Yeah. Doing the program. Yeah. Like we're not
if it's not, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. I think it's funny because business owners, after I've spoken to so many as well, like they are all problem solvers. So I guess that's why it works for you guys because you saw a problem and you fixed it. Like you found a solution for it and you're continuously fixing it.
It's always ongoing.
Yeah.
We're like, oh,
there's always a new thing.
We're like, book them in. We'll deal with the problem later.
Yeah. That's the attitude.
We'll take
that,
them all that we can handle and we'll figure it out.
Say yes and then figure it out later.
Because you're doing good things. So what are the good things that come out of the programs that you do? So I know you said before the first school, you were like, we can see we're making a difference. Yeah. What kind of things do you see hear?
We get so many, like, I think just at the end of it, like so many like young people come up to us and they're like, oh, wow, like I never knew this or I didn't know that that was the definition of consent, like this has happened or whatnot. And we get so many people sort of at the end just come up and they're like, wow.
A lot of tears.
Yeah, a lot of tears, but like also like in a good way too. Like they're like, oh, it's so refreshing to hear that because no one's ever said that and I thought it was weird or, you know, just like really normalizing things that everyone goes through that one person in the friend group is too embarrassed to bring up in case no one else has experienced that. And we also get so many reach out. Like we have a Snapchat because all the youth use that these days.
We're down with the youth.
Great demographic.
Yeah.
So they send, like they Snapchat us like their private questions. Mm. And
yeah.
I mean, we'll never
answer something outside our depth.
Answer something outside our depth, but it's just good that they can come to us. They've met us and we send them in the right direction. Yeah. So I usually be like, call this number, visit this website.
Yeah.
Or if it's like a friend situation, I'll be like, oh, have a healthy conversation around this issue. Yeah. See what happens, you know, like.
But yeah, we've just had so much, and even from teachers that have sometimes sat in, like we usually ask for one or two teachers only, just because like we feel that students ask so many more questions when the teachers aren't in the room, which is completely fair enough. Like they might not want to ask personal questions if their teacher's going to hear it.
Yeah, especially if it's a young male teacher.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Yeah.
But lots of the teachers who do organise us to come in are really passionate about it. So they like might sit at the back. They're like, I'm not listening. Like once they have this teacher like shut the door and then she's like peeking through the blinds and she's like putting her thumbs up like at the slides and stuff. She's like, okay, good question, you know. Like, cute. And then she came in, she's like, oh, I was kind of sneaky listening, but it was so good.
Oh, bless. That's so cute.
Yeah, I had like last week, I think I had a girl after one of our sessions. She hung around because we always hang around.
Yep.
And she was just going through a really tough time where she felt like she wasn't like identifying with the same goals as her current friends, but she didn't know how to make new friends and she didn't really like go and do activities on the weekend. And she was like, I don't know what to do. I feel so alone, you know. And she was in, I think she was in year 11, end of year 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of, I was sort of giving her ideas on how she can like meet new friends. But also I was like, high school shit. Like, it's shit
sometimes.
You think
it's your whole life until you leave. And then you're like, wow.
And I was like, you know, it might like, it might be shit for the next 12 months, but it does get better and you will meet people that you completely identify with in your life later on. So I know it's horrible right now and it's totally fair to feel these emotions, but it's not forever.
Yeah, and you're kind of trapped with these people. Not trapped. Like I was really fortunate to have a great high school friend group too. Like, some kids get in there and like they're the only people you can hang out with because you have no choice. So we're trying to tell girls, well, like, just make the most of it while you can, but it's not forever. Like you're going to leave in a year's time. And, like, find so many people that, like, align with your views and, like, your interests and things like that. Yeah. So, like, just try to get through it. Be civil. Enjoy it as much as you can. But no, it's not forever. Like, you don't have to stay friends with these people later on.
Yeah. It's super tough as well because you can't just go and do activities on the weekend if your parents are, like, you're living with your parents. Mm. You don't have, you know, full control over all your money, no like, license. Yeah. Like, how are you meant to just go start a volleyball, like, thing if your parents won't drive you there or whatever?
Yeah. For it. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, and public transport is like, you know, it's a scary option now even sometimes, you know, late at night and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's awesome to hear. Before we get into like where people can find out more about like how to get involved or, you know, assist, do you take people on to assist you or is it just the two of you?
We have a incredibly amazing team behind us.
Yeah.
I think we have numbers at the moment, maybe 25 people. A majority of them are volunteers. So we have a incredible group of like young, passionate women that are like studying psychology or health or something like that that are
they're
involved.
Just really, like they're not even studying that stuff. They're just like,
that's just what they're
here for the cause. Yeah. And then we have
an artist, Maddie Watt.
We partner with a local artist. So
cool.
Yeah. So we can deliver our workshops in combination with her.
Yep.
And obviously art is a great way to like break down barriers, open up conversations.
Yeah. We did that with like the local Aboriginal community, Koya.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. Like just having the chats with the girls as they were painting and Maddie was directing it. It was really like fun to open it up and get them engaged.
Amazing.
And we have the lovely Magdalene, who's a social worker, so she's involved. We have Lainey, who writes all of our like media releases, everything that we send to the media to try and keep pushing the cause. She does that.
Awesome.
And then we also have Lexi. Big shout out to Lexi. She's like, honestly. She's going to be our CEO.
She runs the business. Like, she'd be like, right, guys, I had these ideas. And she sends us like all these dot points. We're like, damn, that's a good idea. We're like, damn it, Lexi, you're so smart. And she's only like, 21 or something ridiculous.
Wow. She's just a powerhouse.
She's going to be like prime minister or something.
Go get her.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, I'm going to be applying for my own job, my own business. Like, remember me. I'm like, she's always too smart that I'm like, oh, she's going to leave us soon.
She's going to start her own thing. Yeah, like, please, partner with us.
Yeah, we'll take her while we've got her.
She's incredible. She just helps us so much.
Oh, that's awesome.
She recently, she was like, oh, I'm at uni and there's nothing about consent. So she organised with us and like, artist Maddie to like make these amazing consent posters that we can stick around universities and then like a QR code with all access to like consent resources, the university reporting.
Yeah. What?
And then she like got us into this like magazine at UWA and she did this whole speech at the magazine Damn.
Some people
launch.
Blow my mind, hey.
Yeah. It's just like, so she fully piloted this massive project that's now at UWA and we've redone all of their consent information on campus that she's just like, we got to fix this. She's just amongst uni and
everything
else. Yeah, I was going to say, what else is 21-year-old?
Yeah.
That is insane.
So we're so grateful and lucky for the people that we do have supporting us.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just keep us going, I think. And
that's awesome.
Also, just heaps to coordinate at the same time. Some of the girls are like, how do you guys like coordinate many group chats? And
we don't really.
Yeah. Spreadsheets, and we're like, you just keep going.
Just do it. Just keep going. Has anything ever like not worked for you or gone wrong, or maybe you've double booked, or like, is anything like,
Not yet.
Okay. I'm sure it will happen with double booking or something like that.
I run a tight Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, love that
program. It's like booking into like multiple Excel spreadsheets, calendar, group chat. There's so many parts.
They're all intertwined, really talking to each other. Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, mostly we've been pretty fortunate that it's all, touch wood, worked out really well so far.
Yeah. I guess we have had problems like
challenges
along the way.
Yeah.
The main one being
not being taken seriously,
as women. Like, what we're, I guess,
let's dive into that.
Like, what we're trying to change is still so prevalent that it's impacting our work.
Mm.
So, I guess for us, it's so, we see it every day in like, how do I say this without upsetting people? I don't want to take away from men's mental health and like challenging men's masculinity and all that sort of stuff. It's incredible. It's amazing that the work people are doing in that space is amazing.
Yeah.
However, we find it very difficult to then prove the need for young women to get that same level of education. So there's
interesting.
Yeah, we have just found we've had to prove ourselves so much more than
Sort of our partner organization.
Or a similar organization doing the same sort of thing for men. We have had to go above and beyond to prove ourselves.
And that's like,
prove our qualifications, why we'd need this. It's just very disproportionate.
That's like absolutely nothing on them though. They are doing incredible things. There's nothing to do with them. Like, they've always like shouting us out and doing amazing things with us too. But like, in terms of outsiders, they're like, oh, but to us, they're always like, well, what about men? What about men? You only work with women. What about men? And I think that stems from society thinking young women are so much more mature and like don't need this education, or they already know it. And we go into schools and I'm like, they may act mature, but they don't know this stuff, you know? Like, just because maybe young men are a bit more like silly and like, you know, not taken as seriously.
Yeah.
Like, people forget about the girls. They're like, oh, they already know that stuff. Like, it's not as important.
Like, and they say to us like, and who are you to teach them that?
Yeah.
Whereas if we were men.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a men's program.
Self-defense class. Maybe. Yeah.
If we were men doing a men's program, come on in, come on in. But it, as women who are you to teach women this?
Or people being like, oh, that little thing you do.
Oh,
or
my like, gosh,
what's that little thing you
love
do?
Love that little project you guys have got going.
Project. Or when they're like, oh, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we've got like 7 bookings this week, like back to back, where they're 3 days a week. Oh,
yeah.
Really? Yes. Okay. Job. Someone's like, oh, what? Because obviously, Kate and I obviously still work other part-time jobs in schools. Like, I'm a teacher and Kate
I'm in education.
So
health education.
Yeah, and then different. And then people are like, oh, what are you doing today? And I'm like, oh, like, I'm not a teaching, but I've got stuff to do. And they're like, oh, so you have the day off? Like, no. Like, I think people think we just go to a school, do a program, like dust our hands off and go home for the day. I'm like, there's so much behind the scenes. But again, like, you don't understand how people's jobs work until you're in them. So like, there's probably other people's jobs that I'm like, oh, I don't really understand what you do. So I don't think it comes maybe from like, you know, a bad point of view. I think they just don't really understand how much we do behind the scenes as well.
And tying back to like the challenges thing, we had a meeting with a minister. I'm not going to name the minister. Yeah,
that's fine.
A minister who is in the same area as what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in there to talk about women's health education, our programs, what's going on in schools. Mm-hmm. In the conversation, it just got drawn directly back to men's programs and what people are doing for men's programs. And again, What are our qualifications as women to do this work?
Right.
Which I think it hurts the most. It hurts the most when it comes from other women, I think.
Yeah.
Like, especially maybe older women. Like, I honestly feel like sometimes older men are like, oh, okay, because they don't want to teach these things to young women. So they're like, oh, bring them in. Whereas older women are like, oh, don't be silly. Like,
they already know
this.
They don't
need
Whereas,
that's not everyone, of course, but like, that's maybe some of the bigger problems we've faced.
And it's even like the way the schools greet us is very different between organisations. As women, it's sort of like, oh, yeah, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
The other organisation, hey, guys, so happy to have you.
Yeah.
And we don't need a nice greeting, but it's like it's even still at really surface so level different. We can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can
it's like feel the culture, it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I never realized, like, I always knew, you know, like sometimes men are taken more seriously in business and things like that. But yeah. until I was actually in it, I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I get it now.
Yeah. Proof is in the pudding.
And obviously, again, that is definitely not the majority of people. Like, we're really fortunate to have so many amazing schools we work with and everything like that. But just sometimes that happens and it's a bit of a
It's
just hard to still
have to prove yourself
so much.
For sure. Totally. Yeah. That is actually crazy. So eye-opening. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't think,
One of our facilitators was like, I heard you talking about this before and I didn't really get it. And then we went to a school and she was like, I get it now. I can see it. I can feel it. Like, I understand what you're saying.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And again, not taking away from the work they're doing because they're doing incredible stuff.
Stop disclaiming it. We get it. As a woman,
I feel like I'm shitting on
People would attack you unless if a man were to come and say the same thing. They'd be like, yeah, damn right. Damn straight, bro. It's funny because like the narrative that wasn't actually that long ago was, you know, when we had something happen in the town, like, you know, a woman's been murdered or raped or whatever. The narrative was more around women protecting themselves. Like you stay indoors, make sure you don't walk out late at night. What are you wearing? Make sure you're not drunk. Like all this horrible, narrative. Can we just talk about what recently happened to a child?
Yeah.
Mm. Wrong place, wrong time, I ask. But it's still men who are like the perpetrators. And it's so crazy because it's like men against men violence, men against women violence, men against children now violence. Like it is insane that the narrative is not turned and flipped on its head.
And people being like, you know, well, men get sexually assaulted too. And I'm like, yeah, but 98% by other men. Like, I was like,
look at the stats.
Not the women that are the problem in these situations. Yeah. Like, it's still coming from this toxic masculinity or whatever it might be. And then even just with the like sexual assaults, and then the person gets found guilty and they've already got 20 charges. And you're like, well, why were they out?
Yeah.
Like, why were they out walking around the streets? You know, just things like that aren't taken seriously either. Like, it's like, oh, how do women protect themselves? Well, lock up the men that are doing it.
Yeah, give men the curfew until you find the guy who's doing it.
Yeah. Like, hello. Seriously.
I think there is a good space for men's mental health and I feel like they are doing a lot more work in it now.
Oh, it's amazing.
But it's incredible to hear, like, how differently it's received. Like, it's it blows my mind. Yeah.
Some places we've been to, it's just the complete opposite, where they will put all the money towards the men that they have none left for the women.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which grinds my gears.
Yeah. Our girls.
We keep pushing.
You know?
The girls. What about the girls? We need to empower them. They've been pushed down, not being educated. Like, it's going to continue that problem of where women are still subpar and not getting enough.
Yeah. And I feel bad for the women who are pushing other women down because that's obviously how they've lived their lives to protect themselves. Like, we don't ask for help. We go into survival mode. We learn all the tools and tricks to not need anybody else and to then look after everybody else.
Yeah.
That, like, we just assume or they just assume that everyone that is a female can do that. And it's like, well, maybe we should change it because are you okay? Are you actually doing okay?
Honestly,
like, have you always done okay? Like, maybe not. Like, that's incredible. Where can people find out more about your programs? Can people join, like, workshops, seminars? Does it have to be schools? Can you tell me a bit more about how people can access
women? Do lots with community groups as well. We're definitely doing a lot more with that now, just to outreach for, like, universities. We just recently did an event with Sea Gals, which is, like, a female morning swim. It's really great. It was really fun.
Awesome session,
like Sea Gals?
Yeah, like Sea Gals.
G-A-L-S.
Tara runs that, and, she's awesome. Yeah. And we did a really good thing there, but... Yeah, we have – well, we're looking for people to join volunteers if people are interested. We have lots of awesome uni students to help out with that.
Yeah. Finding us, though, how do they actually get in contact? We are on all social platforms.
All the social platforms.
Probably Instagram, I guess. Is that, like, the biggest thing people use?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, it's We Are Women, but women is spelled W-O-M-X-N, movement.
We are women.
Dot women dot movement.
Nice and easy.
Remember that. Write that down.
Nice and small.
We'll share it in the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. And, on our website has all of the information for, I guess, the programs that we offer in schools.
Yeah.
We offer them to parents. We offer them in community settings. Like, we do, like, just random talks at unis. Like, we have a lot of, like, the Women's Guild at UWA wants us to come and talk about stuff. Whatever. We come and do it. Whatever you need, we'll do it.
We'll say yes and figure it out.
Yeah, we'll pop it in the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Is there anything that's coming up that you guys wanted to promote, talk about?
Heaps.
All the ideas.
We're going to Leavers. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, not like, as Leavers.
For the business? Yeah. Or?
Once we said that, I was like, oh, we're going down to Leavers soon. And this girl goes, are you guys only year 12? Oh,
we're Toolies. Like, we're actually Toolies. Yeah.
Not quite, but thank you. The retinol. So yeah, we'll be at the Leavers Beach Day, and we were there last year. It was so much fun, and just like we have a little stall, and we do like activities, ask questions. All the kids were pumped up, and that's really fun. So we'll just be there for the day. In terms of other events, I think we mostly just have schools
coming up to the end of the year.
To the end of the year, we're pretty much booked for those. But hopefully over summer, we definitely want to try and get a few more community events going. So they'll be on our social media if. We do have those set up. You'll be able to find them on there.
And I guess if anyone's got any awesome ideas on how we can link together and run like an awesome community workshop event together in partnership, we're like also super open to that as well. We're starting a subscription service for parents so they can actually access the information that we teach the kids on like a regular basis.
Themselves.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can be hard to raise kids in this generation because like they are so woke. They're so like they've got all the knowledge at their fingertips. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's hard to access because it's too much. But yeah, as a parent, I find it like I feel for them.
Me too.
Yeah. And I think it's good
it's
because
scary.
Kids are like, terrifying. Yeah.
And we work with them every day. And I'm like,
you guys are scary. Because we work with them every day, we have such an insight on what like and how they want to have these conversations. Yeah. So some parents are like, oh, but like you might not have kids. And we're like, yeah, but we were like, we get all the
information.
Because they trust us to work with, like to tell us these things. So we like relay it how, you know, how they could start these conversations with their kids and talk about it and how to be the parent that kids can come to. Because lots of kids will be like, oh, I don't like it when my parents do this or I like when my friend's parents do this. So we sort of have a good insight to that, which we then relay to parents. And
you can just whisper in their ear and be like, by the way, setting this sort of, you know, boundary start or whatever, it doesn't work.
Hashtag woke.
Yeah.
Slay.
I just went to that before. I was like, why did I do
honestly,
that?
Like, we are so many of the, like, some of our volunteers are like maybe first year uni. So we're like, sometimes message them, we're like, what does this mean? Like, or like, we get like insights from kids, which is good because, like, obviously.
One time we got a testimonial that was just literally slayed. I was like, that just feels so good.
Yeah.
That's the best one we've gotten.
So we actually work really closely with teenagers to create programs for teenagers because you've got to forget, you're like, you need to relate to them, so you need to get their opinions before you go in there. So they're kind of probably like our biggest mentors.
It's crazy. Like all the education comes from them, and it's evolving so quickly now because of technology. Like they have access to kids around the world. So like if something starts in America, we pick it up here like the next day. Whereas back in our day, like not even like 10 years ago, on the Facebooks, it was MySpace we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Someone was like, oh, you got to rank your friends? I was like, that wasn't since MySpace.
They're
like,
was such cyberbullying too. Top friends. Like, God, who allowed that?
Yeah. Brutal.
You move people down and they piss you off.
Have a fight moves them.
Wow.
So crazy. That's awesome. Any last thoughts that you guys want to share? Or
no, I think just like for women out there listening, like just keep fighting the good fight and speak up, and it's okay to, you know, not be the norm and speak your opinions and be bold and beautiful and masculine and feminine and whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
Don't let other people change who you are or bring you down. Step up to the plate. Like, and we always say there's enough room at the table for all women to be whole.
Oh, I love that.
There's enough space on the door. Get off, Jack.
Yeah.
We love that. Oh, that's awesome. That's cool. I'm so excited to share this episode. That was a great chat.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. We'll talk soon.
Woo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast. If there's anyone that you specifically want to hear from or you think would be great on the podcast, send us a DM on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Or you can email us at theperthbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you here next time.